And so when we were talking about this, this dropped into my spirit as I was preparing for today, that God, this theme of being unafraid is all through Scripture, especially in the New Testament. But all through the Scriptures, there are many, many instances of fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. And right now in our world and our society, fear has seemed to grip everybody and everything. And as believers, we don't have to give in to that spirit of fear. We don't have to give in to the negative report. We don't have to worry about, like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. We don't have to be, you know, in fear and anxiety. Now, again, you heard me say this last week. I don't want to discount that sometimes there is a medical condition that would cause anxiety. But what I am trying to say is this, that deep down on the inside, the Word of God is a higher truth than even what a medical report is. The Word of God is a higher truth. And so we hang on to that higher truth, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. It is not easy to stay positive in a negative world. It's not easy to speak positive in a negative world. I mean, if you'll watch yourself, you know, if you're not in the Word of God, if you are not, you know, feeding along the lines of faith and of the things of God, your speech will kind of slip right back into negativity. It will slip right back into what you feel, what you think, and what everybody else is feeling and thinking, right? And we'll just kind of gravitate to that. And so I just want to challenge you as New Testament believers that we're people of light. We're people of God. And our speech and how we conduct ourselves in self-control without fear, in the face of adverse circumstances, in the face of difficult circumstances. We talked about that last week, about actually suffering for the things of God. I read a story along that line when it came to suffering. And it was about an Indian pastor who actually would go into a village, a Hindu village, and the Hindus didn't really want him there, and he was preaching the gospel, and every day, finally, some of them got tired of him preaching the gospel because people were starting to listen to it. So they took this man and they beat his feet so that he really couldn't walk very well. And he bandaged his feet up and he went right back to the same village. And he kept on preaching and I thought, oh my goodness. And this phrase kind of came to me that, you know, we as New Testament believers need to be undaunted in our stand for God, undaunted in our faith for the things of God, hanging on to even things that the culture says, oh, that went out with the dinosaurs. What? You mean you still go to church? You're still part of the church? I read a recent statistic that church attendance and people of faith is in such dramatic decline over the last 10 to 15 years. And even more so, it's like it took another nosedive since COVID came. And it's almost like society doesn't have time, doesn't want to have any affiliation with organized religion, is one of the terms that's used. And what we hear is, yet people are still longing for something. They're still longing for the authentic. They're longing for people of God to actually stand up and be different. Now look at that verse again. For God has not given you a spirit of fear. Okay? But of power, of love, and a sound mind or self-control. In other words, you don't have to give in to what everybody else is giving into. So the word came to me, undaunted. That we are undaunted in our faith. So we are unafraid, number one. Scripture very, very clearly tells us to not be afraid. Even sometimes when God does things in our lives, you know, and he's kind of intervening in our lives. Look at when the angels would appear, right? What was the first thing when God gave a word to somebody? Fear not. Why? Because in our human, earthly thinking, we tend to get afraid as soon as we see something that we don't understand. that we don't understand. See, God has, he's got ways, according to the word, that are higher than our ways. Don't you know that God thinks a whole lot different than you do? And he has ways that are higher than our ways. And so when we understand that, when we understand that his thinking, his way of doing things is very different than ours, our earthly, we still see through a glass darkly. We don't fully understand everything. Even as children of God, yes, we have the mind of Christ. Yes, there's a lot of things we do understand. And we are committed to these things. However, we still are seeing through a glass darkly. We don't see everything. We don't understand everything that's going on around us. But thanks be to God, we've got the Holy Spirit. And he can give you insight, and he can give you wisdom to walk through difficult situations. How to answer somebody? You would have an answer whenever you needed it. So that word came to me, undaunted. And I thought, what does undaunted mean? It means to not be hindered, to just, I'm going to keep doing this. And then that thought of that Indian pastor who's preaching the gospel, you know, they beat his feet until they were bloody and he couldn't walk. And he went right back to the same exact village to preach the gospel. Why? Because he was undaunted in his faith. He was going to be bold. Now, the word of God tells us, turn with me to Proverbs 28 and verse 1. 28 and verse 1. I believe that some of these truths, looking at 2 Timothy through the lens of grace and truth. Remember, our definition of grace is going to be God's power, his passion, his ability doing inside of us what we can't do ourselves. And when we understand that that lens puts us into a different category, it puts our life, our focus, how we interact with others in a different way. And so when we look at Proverbs 28 and verse 1, Proverbs 28 and verse 1. We got that? Oh, we don't have that one. All right. 28 and verse 1. And it is that the wicked flee when no one pursues them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no one pursues them. In other words, they're the ones giving into the fear. They're the ones giving into the anxiety of the earth. They're the ones looking here, there, not knowing where they're going. In fact, stumbling around in the dark, if you will. But the righteous, those who have been made right by the blood of Jesus, those who have been made right, who have the ability, that righteousness is the ability to stand before God as if sin never existed. Have you ever really deeply thought about that, meditated on that truth, that when Jesus sees you, he doesn't see every flaw that you see or even your family sees. He sees you as righteous. God sees you as righteous because of what Jesus did. He did the work for us. He did the work for us. It is received and lived out by faith. Now, that doesn't give us a license to sin. It doesn't give us a license to go do whatever we want. In fact, it's pretty clear that we still have a standard that we need to live by. There is still a standard to live by. That's where truth comes in, that we still live according to the truth of God's word. But we are set free from the law of sin and death. Romans tells us that we've been set free from that law. That law of sin and death. We've been set free. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. In other words, we can be these righteous people that Proverbs 28 tells us about, that the wicked flee when no one pursues. In other words, they're chasing their tail. But the righteous are as bold as a lion. Lions are not known to be timid at all. At all. In fact, it seems as though if you ever search and do a little internet search on lion attacks, you will find that they're pretty regular. And they're usually because some not very intelligent at that moment acting human being decides to get out of their car at a lion park and wants to pose selfies with lions. They're not afraid of us like other animals are. They are not intimidated by us. They said that if you get attacked by a grizzly bear or a grizzly bear comes at you, you try to make yourself as big as you can, and they usually run away because they get intimidated. A lion doesn't do that. A lion just figures out, I'm going to get help from my buddies, and we're taking you down, and we're going to have lunch. And, you know, when my brother-in-law, sister-in-law lived in South Africa, I had the privilege of going down and visiting them on one occasion. And my brother-in-law, Ed, took me camping. Now, Ed doesn't camp like I like to camp. I like to camp with a motorhome. That's my idea of camping. Bring the shower and the bathroom with you. Okay? And the air conditioner. And just park where you want and look out the window. That's my idea of camping. Okay? And my brother-in-law's idea of camping is a very different way of camping. This is, oh, Douglas, put your stuff in the back of the pickup truck and let's drive for 6 hours into the bush. And that's what we did. And then he said, I said, so Ed, where's the tent? He goes, we don't have a tent. This is Africa. We don't have a tent. We're sleeping in the back of the truck. And I said, oh, really? And so we pulled into this camp and we, you know, he said, okay, time to go to sleep. It's like 100 degrees out at night, you know, mosquitoes everywhere, you know. And we pulled into this camp where they had a big fence around it. They had a big fence around it and they closed the fence at sunset. I said, why did they close the fence at sunset? He says, oh, you'll see why. I said, really? And he goes, yeah, because we're in the middle of nowhere. So they close the gate at night because they don't want people coming in after dark. You're supposed to be in the camp when sun sets. I said, okay, so here we are. We're setting up camp, built a little fire, had a little, you know, food, and then nightfall came. And the noise the animals made and the noise around the perimeter were crazy. But then I started to fall asleep and I heard this sound. And it went through my body. And I said, what was that? He said, that's a lion. He says, and I said, is it close? He says, no, it's about a mile away. About a mile away, the sound went through my body and woke me up. They are bold, and they are loud, and they know who they are. As a lion, they know they're king of the jungle. Nothing can take them out. And I want to tell you, as a believer, we should be the same way. When it comes to the enemy, when it comes to sickness, disease, attacks of the enemy, when he attacks your children, when he attacks your home, that you should be as bold as a lion. The enemy needs to hear you roar. But it means that you have to get a voice. You have to get a voice. And that's sometimes, I think, the biggest challenge for all of us in this room, is to actually take that bold stand, realize who we are in Christ, and decide we will be undaunted. We will be unafraid. We will be the people of God that yield an unchained word. And we found that in this same passage when he talked about the word of God is unchained. So let's go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And we can find out that the word of God is unchained in verse 9. It's unchained. In other words, you can't bind up the word of God and stop it from working. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. So not only are we going to be unafraid, not only are we going to be undaunted in our faith with Christ, in our faith, what we are believing God for, undaunted. You know, I know some believers. I know some believers that, I mean, they're undaunted. I mean, they get a negative report, they are undaunted. I know some folks that they just keep saying, no, I know what I'm believing for. No, that's not right. That's not what I'm believing for. That's not my harvest. That's not what I've planted in the ground. And so when a negative thing comes up, then no, that's not what I've been praying for. And it's not what I've been believing for. It's not quite yet. It hasn't happened yet. What is that? That is somebody who has a spirit of faith that says, no matter what comes my way, I am still standing. It reminds me of the Indian pastor going right back to the village and continuing to preach with bandaged up feet. That's the kind of undaunted, unafraid, unchained use of the Word of God. Unchained. That you don't let the Word of God be limited in your life. You know, I was talking to some believers recently, and they used to be regular churchgoers. I'm talking, they were in church, they were here when, I'm not talking about our church in specifically, so if you're watching or anybody who's watching, I'm not talking about somebody you know, okay? Talking about somebody you don't know. But I know that they were very involved in their church at one point in their life, you know, volunteering and doing things. And I began to talk to them, and as I was listening, you know, if you listen to people long enough, they'll give away where they're at. And you'll see a difference between the believer who is involved in the things of God and the kingdom of God and those who are uninvolved. Because it comes out in their speech. It comes out in what they're worried about. It comes out in their support system, their relationships, how they function. It comes out that they're sometimes feeling lonely. They're sometimes feeling struggles. Sometimes they're feeling anxious. Sometimes there's a lot of things that come with being out there without being connected to what God is doing. And I just want to encourage you, stay connected. And I know some of you, you stay connected online. I applaud you. That's awesome. Stay connected. Stay connected to God and the things of God, because the Word of God is unchained. And it, no COVID can stop the Word of God.
Nope.
Nothing can stop the Word of God. Because the Word tells us, thy Word is settled forever in heaven. The Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it cannot. It's called the imperishable word, imperishable. So when I think about looking at where we are in faith, looking at what God wants to do in your life and my life, He wants to take us from where we are to a different place in Him, a place of maturity, a place of harvest. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have difficulty even in the middle of your harvest. You can have difficulty. You know, sometimes people get this idea that, well, you know, pastors don't have any problems, and, you know, ministers don't have it, or mature Christians, people who've been Christians for a long time, they don't know that there's, as Reverend Ennis said several months ago, and he brought that message, people have stuff. Everybody's got stuff, right? We still have to use the Word of God. We still have to be unafraid in the middle of, as I said, sometimes you're afraid up here, but down here you're not. Listen to the voice of God deep from the inside. When you've asked Jesus in your heart, you've got the greater one living on the inside. You've got the greater one. And so listen to that voice first. Not the voice of fear. Because the voice of fear, man, it'll tell you all kinds of things. You know? I mean, you can get in fear about everything. I mean, I love the fact that we can research absolutely almost anything. I was talking to my daughter this morning, and we talked about a particular trumpet, and I go, do they make one? She goes, I'll find out. And about 15 seconds flat, she found out. You know, anything you want to know is at your fingertips. Anything. Anything you want to know is at your fingertips. It's not always accurate information, and it will take you down a bunny trail. But how many of you know the Word of God is not chained, and the Word of God is what we need to stick with when it comes to the storms that life throws at us, we stick with the Word of God. So we're unafraid. We're undaunted. The Word of God is unchained. Now let's go pick up in 2 Timothy. Last week when we were in 2 Timothy, we went through almost all of chapter 2. Verse 23, we'll pick up right there. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Verse 24. To teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. You know, going back to that idea of we can research anything. You can research stuff and you will find stuff that will take you right away from the Word of God and tell you all kinds of things. I've said this before, at Christmas time and at Easter time, the History Channel is full of things that will pull faith down. I don't know why, except for they just choose that as a season to talk about there was no resurrection. To talk about there was no virgin birth. All these documentaries that will try to chip away at what you believe. Try to chip away at what the Word of God actually declares. Try to bring Jesus down to the same level as you and me. I got news for you. You do not have to follow that. Don't give in to those arguments and those strife-filled things about words and about theories. And, well, I read this and I read that. You know, we're going to find out in chapter 3 that people can continue to learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and never come to the knowledge of the truth because they chase this thing and this thing leads them to that thing. That thing leads them to that thing. And before long, they have no faith and they have nothing that will anchor them. And they're being blown around. That's why the Word tells us to not allow yourself to be blown around by every wind of doctrine. This is saying to us to avoid strife, avoid all of these little arguments that people will get into. You know, I'll never forget in college, sometimes people would say, let's talk about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Who comes up with these things? But what they do, especially college students, that age group especially, because their minds are expanding at a huge rate, everybody just wants to research and let me tell you about this that I read, and let me tell you about this, and let me tell you about this. And now it used to be that it was what they read. Now it's what they saw. And it's what they heard on Netflix. Well, I saw a documentary on Netflix. You need to see this. And sometimes it's good information. Sometimes it's just not. Where was the source that came from? And see, we've got to be careful when it comes to not allowing ourselves to be drawn into that, but instead keep pointing people back to the Word of God. Back to the Word of God. All right. So he said this in verse 26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. That tells me this. The snare of the devil is chasing all of this stuff. Chasing all of these theories, all of this buzz. And social media totally feeds into that. And in fact, you find out that the algorithms that are running the social media platforms actually cater to whatever you're looking at, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're posting about. It will keep catering to that. You could say to your you know, friend, you know, I'm thinking about getting some new patio furniture. And the next thing you know, you're going to start seeing patio furniture ads coming up on your Facebook feed. It's not a person that's doing that. It's a computer program doing that. And you've got to be careful not to allow yourself to get swayed into those things, because they will just keep feeding those things to you that you are interested in. So feed along the word of God, and God will feed you back. He will feed you back. Now notice what it said in chapter 3. But know this, in the last days, perilous times will come. How many feel like we might be living in some of that right now? I don't know if Jesus is coming tomorrow. I don't know if he's coming next week, 50 years from now, or 100 years from now. I'm not here to make a prediction. But I am telling you that the signs do point that we are closer to the end times than we have ever been. Whether or not it is the end of the end, I have no idea. But I know this, I want to live my life pleasing to him, regardless of whether he comes next week, next month, or even 1 hour from now. That I can say, I've lived my life for you. I gave my life to you, to be used by you. I will be unafraid. I will be undaunted. I will use your word as an unchained tool in my life to live this Christian life. The great grace that he's given me, that power to do what I can't do myself, is available to me. Notice what it said, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control. There's that theme of self-control again, right? Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Now those are some harsh words. Pastor Doug, what a downer. You just gave me a list of a bunch of negative stuff. We're going to get to the positive before you leave, I promise. For all of this sort creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins and led away by various lusts. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Verse 8. Now Jonas and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs was. Now in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 12, we have the example of what happened to Jonas and Jambres. Now, Jonas and Jambres is a historical tradition that the Jewish people knew. They were considered magicians in Pharaoh's court. They were the ones who, when it came time to show their power, they turned sticks into serpents too. But it was Moses that, when he put his staff down, God's serpents swallowed up their serpents to show God's power. And I want you to know that that showed God's power in the middle of it and showed their folly. They tried to say, oh, well, we're powerful. We can do tricks too. Well, then God's power swallowed up the evil power. And it said there, in going back to verse 8, they resisted the truth, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all. I want you to notice that there is going to be an end to evil. There will be an end to evil. It will only go so far. God will not allow it to go to its end degree. Instead, he will swallow up the evil with the good. And that is, I believe, a promise of God. So we can sit there and read all of those terrible things in verse 1 and verse 2, verse 3 about what's going to happen in the last days. And you can even feel like that's happening right now in this nation, in your work, wherever you might look. But I want to give you good news. The good news is God's not going to allow it to go any further. And you can be a part of that. You say, what do you mean? Well, when we live our lives unafraid, when we live our lives undaunted, when we use the Word of God as an unchained tool in our hands, I believe that God will use us to show the folly of the evil one. That He will use us to swallow up the evil with good. That we would be the ones who would be used of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation to be lights for Jesus Christ, to actually show forth His goodness. Notice what verse 10 says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all, say out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Here's the good news. God will deliver you out of them all. Out of them all. The persecutions, yeah, you might have to go through them. Yeah. You might have to go through that difficult time. You might have to suffer for your faith. When I hear of suffering, I've heard Christians sometimes say, well, I'm being persecuted because I'm Christian. Here in America, we really don't know what that means.
Okay.
Not compared to the rest of the world. I referred to you to check in with Marcia Francis regarding the Voice of Martyrs and some of the people that she has gone to their conferences, hearing about the persecuted church all over the earth. Right now, Christians are the number one persecuted people group in the world. It's not the LGBTQ community. It is not the Muslim community. It is the Christians all over the earth. They are persecuted more for their faith than any other people group on the planet. And we need to be aware of it. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to be understanding of that much more than we are. We're in a nice air-conditioned building. I'm not right now. I'm not worried about the elements. I'm not worried about the authorities coming for me. I'm not worried about, you know, somebody storming in the back doors and telling me I can't do what I'm doing right now. We don't have that. But there are places in the earth that is still a very real possibility in many, many places. Not just some of the obvious ones like North Korea, but in many places. And I want to encourage you that not to take for granted the freedom that we have. Not to take for granted the ability to worship God, to say the name of Jesus, to share your faith, to stand up and to be bold as a lion. Praise God. Notice what he said there. He said, the Lord delivered me out of them all. And he said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That was the Apostle Paul telling us that. You will suffer persecution. There is a moment in time when your faith has to mean something. It actually has, you have to stand up for what is right. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. To make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So here is the answer. It's the antidote to what's going on in our world. It is the Scriptures. Because notice what it says. All Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration. That word in the Greek language is theopneustos. It's God-breathed. It's the breath of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for what you believe. This is the bedrock of who we are as Christians. That it's the scripture that gives us the underpinning, gives us the foundation. It's that unchained scripture that when it is activated in your life, gives you a firm foundation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Sometimes we need to be corrected by the Word. The Word will correct you. That's why I was saying earlier, people that are not in the Word, they're not in fellowship, they're not in a community of faith, you can listen to them talk, you can listen to how they navigate their problems, and you can realize they're disconnected. They might be believers. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. But they're disconnected. They're disconnected from the body, and they're disconnected from how God wants to use them and encourage them and give them that community and that sense of faith. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. And I love this, that the man of God, this is the good news, folks. This is the good news, that the man of God, woman of God, may be complete. Say complete.
Complete.
Thoroughly equipped for every good work. That word thoroughly equipped, I did a study on it some time ago. It was an accountant's term. For those of you that are really into numbers and things, it was an accountant's term in ancient Greece. And it was used for the shipping companies when they would talk about a fully loaded ship that was fully loaded. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm fully loaded. I'm fully loaded. I didn't know that, but I'm fully loaded, right? I didn't know that. But the scripture tells us you're fully loaded. That means thoroughly equipped to do what? To do what? For every what? Good work. In this day and age where we've heard a great emphasis and wonderful truths on the grace of God, it seems like people kind of got scared when you'd say work. I'm not saved by works. Are you trying to put me back in legalism? No, the Word is very clear. I love what our mentor, Dr. Horace Ward, used to say. He said this. He said, we are not saved by works. But make no mistake, Christian, you were created for and created unto good works. There is nothing wrong with being good works person, doing the good works that God asks us to do. Amen? Praise God. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished for every good work. Hallelujah. Every good work. Well, we've completed chapter 3. Every good work. Turn to your neighbor again. Say, I'm fully loaded.
Fully loaded.
Say, I'm unafraid.
Unbreaking.
Say, I'm undaunted.
Undaunted.
And say, I am going to use the Word of God as an unchained tool. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads right now. Father, thank you for your Word. God, thank you that it has given life to us. It's helped us today. Strengthened us. Lord, that it has encouraged us where we needed encouragement. Father, even in the last days, even if we are in the beginning of the last days, Father, I thank you that you have given us everything we need.
Yes.
God, that you've made us righteous so we can be bold as lions, that we can be unafraid. Father, that we don't have to give in to fear and anxiety like the rest of the world. But God, you've given us a hope. You've given us a future. You've given us a help. You've given us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Lord, that you've given us everything we need and you have fully loaded us so that we can live this gospel. So, Father, I thank you for encouraging your people today. God, I thank you for it. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today or if you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. I want you to just indicate that you would like to receive Christ. You can do so right now, even online. And you can pray a simple prayer with me. And we're going to pray together. Those of you that have been saved, you have asked Jesus into your heart, you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, we're just going to say a simple prayer that has to do with that. And if you'll pray along with us, if you're watching at home, you can be saved. You can know Jesus Christ, and you can have the greater one live on the inside of you, and you can be righteous. So let's pray that simple prayer right now. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead, that he can help me live this righteous life. I call Jesus my Lord and my Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, or if you just prayed that prayer as our act of rededication, we want to know about it. Message us. I want to encourage you. If you're not near a church, get into a church and connect with the people of faith. I believe God's got some greater things for his church in the future to do for his glory. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand our feet as we close with our sending out verse, as we call it. Hallelujah. It is Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Here we go. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. God bless you. Thank you for watching, and thank you for coming.